It's good to have a place you can come to and worship the Lord. The Bible, you know, the Bible commands us to have public worship. And there's two reasons, maybe more than that. Two reasons. Number one, that the saints of God could be fed. And number two, that our message could get out to people that would come by. Now, you know, I believe God has got everything under control. And nobody, now there's a lot of outlaws, but they're not outside of God's perimeter. They're not outside of God's control. I mean, you know, these bad, you know, we hear of old stories of old times and even in our present times. Well, a gang had a shootout in New York. Well, God didn't cause that, but He allowed it. Now, I can't explain that fully to you, but I teach all the time that God rules the world by His definite will, His determinate will, His pleasurable will, and His permissive will. And we don't understand them, but that's the way God... Now, as far as we're concerned, that's how God deals with us. He lets people do things, and sometimes, you know, and most of the time, them gangsters that don't give up, they get killed. You know. And if you read very much of the Law of Moses and very much of Paul's writings, especially Romans 12, it tells us to obey the law of the land. So we need to understand that. And God put a law on us. So God gave a law in the front, and He even gave Adam and Eve one law. And He gave the law of Moses, and the law of Moses don't save anybody. But God had to give us a law after Adam got out of the garden to keep us from doing as bad of things as we might do. See? I mean, if they didn't have a 70 mile an hour limit on this, speed limit on this interstate, instead of running 80 and 85, they'd run 105. That's just how people are. So we need laws to do that to us. And, of course, I want to reiterate, or I've said it once, let me repeat it. The law does not save people. The law really shows people they need a Savior. And so that's what the law does. Turn your Bibles this morning to Philemon. Now, Philemon is one of the shortest books in the Bible. And Philemon is probably one of the least read books in the Bible. I confess that when I sat down to Bible study, hardly ever do I go to the book of Philemon. But the book of Philemon is really a good book. And it's got some teachings in it for us. And it's got some things in there that God wants us to know. Now, before I start, let me read a little bit to you here to try to bring you up to speed of what we're talking about. Most people, even a lot of Bible readers, you say, who was Philemon? And they say, a man. And that's about it. But I want to just bring a little bit up to you this morning to try to get this in context. Now, of course, Philemon was written from the Apostle Paul. And he had a definite reason for writing it. And Philemon had a slave, and his name was Onesimus. Philemon was a Christian that lived at Colossae. But Onesimus, and in his slavery, had robbed his master and fled to Rome. There he became a convert through Paul, who sent him back to Philemon with this letter. It is a good teaching. It has practical righteousness. It teaches Christian brotherhood. It teaches Christian courtesy, and it teaches the law of love. And I hope we'll see that as we go through here. Philemon lived at Colossae. Colossae was a place that was in Asia Minor, or are real close to the Galatian area. So that's, if you are a geography student, well, that'll give you a little insight of where Colossae was. And of course, Paul wrote a letter to the Colossians, which I shall refer to in just a few minutes. All right. Starting with verse 1, it says, Now let me say one more thing. Paul wrote this from prison in Rome. He wrote this from the prison in Rome. So, he says here in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. In thy house. So this man, it is supposed that Philemon had a large house, and he had a house large enough that he could have church in it. Now that was not too unusual in New Testament times. In early New Testament times, it was not too unusual for there to be a church meet at some man's house. In fact, I've done it, and I'm sure you've done it. But so he says, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, he has a salutation to Philemon. Now, I want to turn over, mark right there, and I want to turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. Now this is Paul closing out the letter of Colossians. He says, All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a fellow minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, see, one of you, Colossae. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye shall receive the commandments if he come unto you and receive him. So that he references some people that he's going to talk about today. He references them over there in Colossians. So he said again, I'm back in Philemon now. And verse 4 again, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now again, who is Paul saying this to? He's saying it to Philemon. See, he already said he's a fellow soldier, and he's a fellow Christian, and he is encouraging him. All right. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. See, now I need to stop right there and say something. We refresh each other in the Lord. See, let me put it really, really simple. I could not have much fellowship if I came down to the house of God by myself. So I need you here to increase my fellowship. You see what I mean? And so this is what Paul is, this is what Paul is encouraging Philemon about. See? Now we might think that we over here by ourselves and nobody cares for us and we're not worth very much, but don't ever get in that frame of mind. When you belong to the Lord and you belong to His people, you belong, well, then you need to be at the service of God, because it not only refreshes you, but it refreshes us at your presence. You see? So, he is talking about the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. See? For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. I believe I read this, but I'm reading it again. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now the bowels of the saints there means the spiritual man. The spiritual man. See? Now when we see each other, we may or may not get very much refreshing in a fleshly sense. But we get a refreshing in a spiritual sense by your presence and you being here. So that is what Paul is telling Philemon, and he is encouraging him. And I want to encourage you. All right? Verse 8. Wherefore, thought I might, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one, and one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. How many times does Apostle Paul refer to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Why does he use that term? Why does he use that term? Because I submit to you that if you are following God, if you are saved, and you belong to God, and you're in God's service, you are a prisoner of Jesus Christ. See? We don't do the things we would do. We don't do the things we would. See? Now, when you get saved, one of the first things you learn is that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So Paul is making mention here. He said it twice. The prisoner of Jesus Christ. See? Now let me say something to you. That's not bad. Because if we are a good prisoner, a good servant of Jesus Christ, He's faithful and just to reward us. See? Now salvation is not by works. See? But rewards is by works. Reward is by service. I tell people once in a while that ask me, Lord Jesus Christ is on the top notch in my heart for love and on the top notch of my heart for worship. And I pray that He'll accept my service. We can't just say, I'm saved and I know Jesus when I get there, He'll accept my service. You can't say that. Because we have to strive to do the things that the Lord told us to do. See? We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Ashamed there means, how are you going to stand when the Lord shows up? Are we going to be like the man that buried his talent in the ground? And say, Lord, I knew that you was an austere man. I knew that you reaped where you didn't sow. And so I was afraid I might lose it. So I put it in the ground. And if you've read that parable, you know what the end of that was. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to let our service be for the Lord. See? Now, not just on Sunday. Every day of the week. Somebody said, well, I've got to work. Well, I know you do. But you don't work 24 hours a day, do you? Maybe some of you have occasionally in your life. But most of the days you don't. So there's a time in your life to to give him some service. Okay? Now, I'm down to verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So Onesimus was a runaway slave. It is supposed, some of the writers tell us that he was a slave of Philemon. He robbed him and ran away to Rome, which at that time Rome was the center of the universe. And he fled. Now what's the deal? Well, we got a runaway slave, and I might mention this, he's a white slave, not a black slave. Okay? They had white slaves back then too. And they still got them, you just don't know about them. Okay? But he was a slave, and he robbed his master and he ran away. Now, in those days, and you can read some history of Rome, in those days when a slave rebelled or ran away, he had a price on his head. And usually, when they caught him, the master, if he wanted to, could kill him legally. Legally. Okay? Now, y'all got to understand, everything back in them days, at the time we're talking about the setting, the Roman Empire ruled the known world. Okay? So that was Rome's rules. You did not rebel. All right, now we got that situation. Now the man went to Rome, and he got saved. Now what's the deal? What about it now? What about it now? All right? Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. All right, what's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, this man has become a good Christian servant. And I would like to have him to stay with me. But, without thy mind, in other words, without your permission, see, Paul is still recognizing, that Onesimus is a servant to Philemon, physically speaking. So he is telling him here, without thy mind, I would not.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
Bless you. Amen.
See? So Paul is showing Christian courtesy to Philemon. But he's saying, this man has become a good servant of the Lord, and I would like to keep him, but I know it's the right thing by law for me to send him back to you. See? Now then, Romans chapter 12. See? Obey the laws of the land. So Paul is saying, without your permission, I would not keep him here. But I'm going to send him back. Okay? Verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Okay, verse 16. Very important. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. See? All right. So, Paul is teaching us here that we forgive people. We forgive people. See? How many times has there been somebody that you've known that was notorious, and they got saved, and they joined the church and made a good church member? Now, does your mind forget what they used to be? Come on now, be honest. Does your mind forget what they used to be? No. But if Jesus Christ forgives them of their sins, it is my duty to forgive them. See? I'm duty bound to do it. I mean, who can hold anything to God's people's charge? It is God that justifies. Is that right? Now I know, with our carnal mind, and I tell young Christians this a lot of times if I have an opportunity. They have an attitude. I've had more than one get saved, come to me, and smile in and say, "Boy, my troubles are over now, aren't they?" And when I first heard that, I didn't hardly know how to answer it. And finally, I learned how. And I think this is right. I said, as far as eternity goes, yes. But not in your flesh. Because God forgot what you used to be, but the devil didn't. And he's going to be telling you about it. Now, I find out, can I say this to you? I found out the older you get in the Lord, the more you are able to overcome that temptation of what you used to be. You know, I mean, hey, the devil reminds me. Now, you know what you used to be. Yeah. I like what one preacher said. He said, when the devil tempts you, if you're saved, when the devil tempts you with your past, said you remind him of his future. You know, that's pretty good. Another preacher said, if the devil tempts you, sometimes, you know, the devil tempts us pretty hard. And this one preacher said, what you need to do is talk back to the devil and tell him to take it up with your high priest. And I thought that was good advice. Take it up with your high priest. See, Jesus Christ forgave you of sin. Who is man or who is the devil that can bring this up on you again? See? Now, I know that God sometimes allows us to be tempted in some areas. But He does that to try us. See how I'm going to handle it? You see what I mean? So Paul is telling Philemon that I'm going to send your servant back to you, but you need to treat him differently. Okay? When somebody makes a profession of faith and they go ahead and they follow the Lord and they attempt to do good, we need to treat them differently. Now, you need to do good unto all men. I know that. And I'm not up here teaching you to slash at people and be against people. We do good to all men, but especially them of the household of faith. So this is what Paul is teaching us here in this book of Philemon, that even though somebody's been very, very far out, now let me take your mind back to the lesson. Onesimus had robbed his master and fled to Rome, which was a long ways, but he ran. Somehow or another, he ran into Paul's preaching, and apparently, according to what Paul said here, he got saved. And he began to serve the Lord in Rome, which was good. And Paul was boasting on him. See? He said here, and let me go back up there, in verse 15, said, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee anything, put that on my account. See? That's how much Paul is vouching for this man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
The world without God, without, and Jesus Christ found us.
That's right. Not only did he find us, but he told the Father, if Glenn Potter owes you anything, put it on my account. See, that's why I refer so often, and it's just in my heart. One of the greatest scriptures to me is Isaiah 53. When he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. See? And men in the world today just struggle so much with that. Oh, what can I do to please God? Well, I'll give the Red Cross $10. I'll help somebody with some groceries. That's good, but that's not salvation. See? When God saw the travail of his son's soul, and I could chase that back, and you know, all of you know the story. Jesus Christ went to Gethsemane and prayed until great drops of blood fell from his face. Now, you say, well, why did he do that? Wasn't he God? Yes, but he was man too. See, he wasn't half man, half God. He was all God and all man all the time, and don't try to figure that out because you can't. But Hebrews said he was given a body for the suffering of death. See, God can't die. If you read the account of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nobody died in his presence except the thief on the cross. But Jesus died first, then they could die. But he was given a body to die. See? He acquired several things from his mother Mary in the fleshly side of life. He said many times, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Then he'd say, the Son of God. Well, he was both. See, he was given a body to die. Now, his righteousness was still in that body. He didn't sin. See? But he was given a body. And another reason he was given that body was to be a near kinsman to me and you. That was according to the law. See, under the law, a rich man could redeem a poor man. And all of us were poor in sin. So we need a rich man to redeem us. But he was given that body to die. And now, back to the lesson. A Christian can say, if there is anything that I owe it, put it on Christ's account as pertaining to your soul. See? He paid the price. What price did he pay? He paid the price that God had to have. He paid the price that God commanded. See, there in the garden when he said, Father, if it be any other way, let this pass from me, this cup. But nevertheless, thy will be done. Now, we don't hear anything in the Bible, but the Father says to him, it's not my will. I got to have a price for Adam's race. And Adam can't pay it. Abraham couldn't pay it. Joseph couldn't pay it. Noah couldn't pay it. Paul couldn't pay it.
Sacrifice price. Jesus Christ brings salvation
Yes.
And he gives us our sight and our keeping back to the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be useful for him.
That's true. That's true. But God forgot what we used to be. See? Hey, that's the new covenant. I don't understand why people that have any inkling of the Bible don't understand that. See? That he can forgive us our sins. Now, let me say this. After you're saved, if you sin, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Ever how God assesses it? I can't assess it. I don't say, now, God, you ought to do this to this brother over here. I can't say that. It's God that assesses the punishment, okay? All right, let me finish up here. I think I'm down to verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And when he says bowels here, he's talking about his spirit. Refresh his spirit in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Could have. Because he does talk about over there in Colossians, Onesimus being one of his fellow helpers. Okay?
What would you do if you were still alone? What would you do if you were still alone?
I'd send him back if Paul wanted him. Yeah. But Paul sent him there so that Philemon and Onesimus could make a reconciliation. See, that's what God does for us. He reconciles us through Jesus Christ. That's right. See, and you don't have to get a little better for God to do that. You have to repent. That means be very sorrowful for what you are and for what you have done and believe in Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior. See, and God accepts you not because, you know, God don't accept us because of men. He accepts us for Christ's sake. God in eternity before didn't say, now I'm going to raise up some of Adam's kids and I'm going to give them great glory. And that's it. No. He foreknew that he was going to make his son King of Kings, give him a great spiritual kingdom and a physical kingdom over yonder. And it was going to be forever and ever. And it's going to be a kingdom of righteousness. Man, when you read about that millennial reign in Revelation, I mean, you know, you can just rise up. Oh, how's it going to be? I have not seen, neither heard, neither has it entered the mind of man what God hath in store for them that love Him. Now the Spirit indicates it. The Spirit gives you that it's going to happen, but they don't give you the details. Okay? All right, verse 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow helpers, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So that book is, in my opinion, given us to remember that I am not supposed to remember your fault. I am not supposed to bring your faults up to you. See, now I'm not saying if you have an ought against your brother, don't go to him and tell him, yeah. But I'm not supposed to go get somebody and say, let's talk about Let's talk about Josh Huffman. Well, he, you know, he's bad. And I'm not supposed to do that. See? Now, where I've got faults, they're not hidden. They're not hidden from God, and they're not hidden from men. So we've got to be very careful there that we don't get holier than thou. All right, my time is out. How many Bibles do we have?